All right, guys, and joining us right now is our good friend, and this is the second time on the show, and he is a huge Cincinnati Red fan. He's a guru. He works with the organization some, but more importantly, he's a stand-up comedian, which is always good with me, and that's Josh Sneed. Josh, what's going on, man?
What's up, boys? How are you?
Well, we're doing good. We're kind of wallowing around 500 if you're a Rangers fan, and not quite as young and exciting as the Reds, but the Rangers are the reigning world champs.
I get it.
The Reds haven't been since 1991. So
what happened the last time we talked?
I know it.
What
I
happened? I know it. The Rangers got swept, right?
Right.
By the Reds. And then you went on to win the world championship. So I think a thank you is probably more in order.
You're right.
And John, right. Did you get a new camera? You're looking crisp, my friend.
Thank you. I'm doing some new things. I've got a new actual laptop. So it was a long negotiation with my event coordinator, also known as my wife.
Did the public ask for that? Is that something the public wanted? Was to see you in high def?
Yeah. Why don't you use the camera that I'm using that I had to spend money on?
Because it was lagging sometimes when I hooked two. But that's for also when we do live events too. We had a live show, by the way, this year.
At a bar, had
Josh Bors and Mike Maddox and a couple of people. We had about 200 people. It was a lot of fun. We had a great time.
Yeah. That's awesome.
We're growing.
Come down for that.
Yes, you do. Without a doubt. And you know, you need to come to Dallas. When are you going to come to Dallas?
I'm working on, I really am working on it. I'm trying to get back down there to Hyenas or somewhere. And did if I do, I promise you guys will be the first ones that I tell. What's that?
Did they reach out to you, Hyenas?
Someone I had reached out to them, and then I posted something with like my tour dates that are coming up, and I said, where else should I go? And then someone said, I called Hyenas and asked for you and was told that they're working on it. So hopefully that's true.
That was me.
As your Dallas Fort Worth based fan
contingency.
Your posse. we're your entourage here in Dallas. And so we did it. So, you know, this is going to be now that they play everyone in the Major League Baseball now, they play every team every year. This is going to be our tradition. Every year we're going to try to get Josh on when the Reds are coming. Not just for the fun, but he's a huge baseball fan and all of that. So let's talk about the Reds real quick before we get into funny stories and things going on. But they're 14-11. They're 2.5 game back in the Central. Third wild card spot. You guys are already playoff bound.
Third wild card spot. It's April, man.
A little early.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We're scoreboard watching here.
Hey, you know what? In fairness that you say that, but there's been no shortage of years in the last decade where in April we're already looking forward to Bengals kickoff. So so it is exciting to be excited about a team like this. And, you know, like you said, I'm a huge baseball guy, and I follow these picks that come through the minor league system. So I know who's in the pipeline and on their way up. And there's a bunch of guys on this team that I've circled, you know, for a long time. And the fact that they're all getting here together reminds me a lot of when Jay Bruce and Joey Votto and all those guys were just kind of sitting at AAA, and you just knew that they were the future. I think we're going through that now with the current roster. I mean, I wish Matt McClain was playing. I wish Noel V. Marte hadn't taken steroids and wasn't out for 80 games. But, you know, Encarnacion Strand and a lot of these young pitchers, Andrew Abbott, and there's so many fun young players. Spencer Steer, TJ Friedl's coming back soon. It's exciting, and it looks exciting for the future. You know, that's the worst thing in a market like Cincinnati is when you put together a fun team, but it's a, you know, guys off the scrap heap or maybe in the twilight of their career that you grab on a 1 or 2 year deal. And, you know, it's a really short window and it's kind of win now. This is different. You know, this is like, it feels like we're going to be competitive and fun to watch for a while.
Yeah. John and I are both looking forward to seeing Ellie De La Cruz this weekend. The guy's a freak. I mean, he's just a freak. I mean, he's good at everything. There's nothing he's not good at.
Yeah.
What's his background? What did was it?
So you know, he's a guy that I don't think they had the kind of aspirations and hopes that they have for him now when they first got him. I mean, he's obviously, I think one thing that you'll notice when you see him is he is, I was just trying to phrase it when I first saw him in spring training last year, but he's got a presence about him, you know, like you see him standing around other professional major league ball players and he stands out just his presence, you know, like how big he is. But when you get to see him run and how hard he swings a bat, I mean, that's the crazy thing is, you know, a guy like Fernando Tatis or that little window we had of O'Neill Cruz last year before he got hurt, you just sort of see every aspect of Ellie's game. You're like, he might be or has the potential to be the best player at this in the league. He can hit balls a mile. He can steal bases like it's nothing. He tracked down a ball in left field last week that had a 0% chance of the left fielder to get to it, according to like StatCast. And it went in the books as a pop out to the shortstop, but he was like in short, like left field. I mean, it was insane.
He was two rows up right down the baseline and inside the stands. Huh?
Yeah. He threw a guy out at home that was 99 miles an hour.
Yeah, his arm is crazy. Oh
my gosh.
I mean, it's just like we haven't had a player like this where the whole league is like, oh my gosh, look at this guy in a long time.
22 years old. He's a switch hitter. He's hitting 307. He's got a 1.052 OPS, which is my deal. I love OPS. 7 home runs already in April. Good Lord, I can't wait. So when we go there, we get down on the field and Rangers hit first, and then – sometimes, depending on who's in town, I'll stick around to watch the other bat in practice, but I get to do it, you know, down on the field. It's pretty nice. That's cool to do. Ellie made it. I will be down there trying to get a couple videos of Ellie. I just want to see him in person.
In the same game last week, he hit a home inside the park home run from the left side of the plate and then hit a 470-foot home run from the right side of the plate.
Yeah, it's a talent. I mean, there's just nothing else you can say about it. And, you know,
cycle in his first month, stole home. I mean,
well, he stole 3 bases, right? That was a sequence where he stole.
Yeah. In Milwaukee. 3 bases. And the picture of him stealing home is one of my all time favorite pictures ever read. It's a perfect overhead shot of him sliding across head first with his hand across the plate. It's unbelievable. You should find it.
Yeah. When these guys are first signed, they're 16, or if they're acquired in a trade like Marte was, very very young, and you don't know what you're getting. You're hopeful, right? You know, and your scouts think you're onto something, but you know, probably at 16 he was not 6'5". You know, he's probably some kid with long gangly arms that they're like, he's got a chance to grow into something.
He's going to grow into his body, and
it's a hats off to the organization for being able to identify these guys.
Yeah,
and now, after a very patient few years here, it's good to see the Reds. I mean, the Reds are one of the best franchises in baseball history, and it's good for baseball when these smaller market teams with the tradition that they have. I mean, I the Pirates have tremendous tradition.
Oh, absolutely,
and Cardinals not bad either.
Yeah,
so it's good. It's good for the game to see this kind of stuff. But like you said, De La Cruz isn't the only one. Green, he's on the mound. Graham Ashcroft, our Nicola Dolo from TCU, got to mention him.
Andrew Abbott is probably my favorite of the starting rotation now. You know, the guy came up and was asked to do a lot as a rookie last year, go super deep into the season because we were injured and ran out of arms, and he took the ball every time and was effective. And, you know, lefty, I love left-handed pitchers I think he's so fun to watch. And you know, Diaz seems to be back on his game. Fernando Cruz is a reliever of ours that has been lights out this year.
I think Abbott is pitching Sunday's game here. Yeah. So yeah, it should be a good series. It should be a fun series. And then the Rangers,
former Ranger great Nick Martinez is there,
that's right, too. And you guys got some Reds. I don't think Barrero's still on the roster, is he?
He's not. No. He's somewhere in the minor leagues. I think they're working on him. Yeah, he hasn't played a game yet this year.
They kept him in Arizona, I think. He cleared waivers. They kept him in Arizona. And we were surprised he cleared. But now I think they're trying to get a hold of him and try to turn him into what everyone thinks he is. If they can get it going. He's still so young.
I hope they can. I mean, he was so promising. I thought for sure he was – before Ellie was even a thought, I thought, you know, Barrero was going to be the shortstop of our future. They tried him in the outfield, and I mean, he was just absolutely raking in AAA, and just something couldn't click. So I hope he figures it out.
He looks great. I mean, he looks like he should be a really good
player. Yeah, he's good looking. Yeah.
Great body. You know.
But you got Tyler Mahle and you got Lorenzen on the roster.
Right. That's right. That's right.
And Lorenzen's one of my all-time favorites. The story about his dad and hitting a home run. Do you guys know that story?
Vaguely. You probably know it better.
So, you know, he's a relief pitcher mostly for the Reds. He'd get some spot starts or do some long innings. But when his father passed away, he took a couple days off. They were super close. And then I want to say it was his very first game back after his father passed away. It was a unique situation where even as a reliever, they needed him to go a couple extra innings. So he got a chance to bat and he hit a home run in his first at bat after his father had passed. And it was just like super emotional. And, you know, he got emotional on the field coming around third base. And it was just like, I was at the game. It was like, just like one of my all time favorite memories as a Reds fan at a game was that moment when Lorenzen hit the home run after his father's passing.
Well, he's off to a good start. You know, yeah. He signed late. Yeah. The guy, you know, we were talking about Barrero and looking good. Mike Lorenzen, man, he could be a bodybuilder.
I mean, his nickname here was Mikey Biceps. That's what everybody called him.
He's in fantastic shape. He wears Vans on the mound as a kind of a tribute to his Southern California roots. But yeah, he was in college. There was a debate on whether he should be a two-way player or if he should pitch or if he should be an outfielder because he could hit, like you said. He's
so he was Ohtani before Ohtani, right?
That's right. That's right. Salt of the earth, too. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to him, but just the absolute nicest dude. And
absolutely.
Yeah, I'll pull for him wherever he goes. When he threw that no-hitter for Philly last year, I just was so happy for him.
Yeah, that was cool. And then Mally's a good guy. He's still rehabbing from Tommy John.
But, yeah. They expect him to step into the rotation when he comes in. That's going to be that's an under the radar signing right there.
Absolutely. The Rangers are going to have nine starters
at some point.
So they're going to go to that nine man rotation. I don't know.
I mean that your whole lineup, like I just, you know, like you said, I'm a big baseball fan. And my son and I are huge into trading cards. So that keeps an eye on a lot of prospects when they're coming up for all the different organizations. And, you know, to see like, you know, Josh Jung and Jonah and just your team is so fun. And I'm a huge Adolis Garcia fan. I love Corey Seager getting second life there. You know, I felt like he was super underappreciated in LA for how talented he was. And Semien is an absolute beast. I mean, your roster is so fun. I love watching you guys play too.
It's a good balance. It's veterans and then like some of the young guys like you mentioned, and now speaking of baseball cards, Wyatt Langford, I haven't seen the market lately because he hasn't homered yet, so maybe that's knocked a few thousand off some of his cards, but my gosh,
Wyatt and Evan Carter, both of them are like baseball cards they're hoarding those two guys and Josh.
Fortunately I got my hand on some Evan Carter cards before last year, but I don't know if the market's ever going to come down on Langford. I mean, if he becomes the rookie of the year or starts hitting home runs, it's going to be hard. I'm going to have to get lucky and just pull one out of a pack or something.
Yeah. It's a good time to buy. Cause as soon as he starts clicking on the home run side is like Ellie took a dip last year. You know, before he got called up, his minor league cards were the most expensive of anybody's. And then he started to strike out a lot, you know, and people were wondering if it was quite the investment that it should be. Mm-hmm. And his cards took a dip at the end of the year. And I can assure you they are back up again right now.
Am I, my old neighbor, he owns Superior Sports Investments. It's based here locally. And he's a pretty big player in the card market. He gets invited to the top summits and stuff like that. And he couldn't believe what Langford cards were going before spring training even started. And he said, give it about 6 months. And I hope he's right, because my son and I need to get some of those. Cause like I said, I loaded up on Carter when he was right after COVID or during COVID, it was still reasonable. And Josh Young wasn't quite there yet. So we got some young cards, but, oh, and I loaded up on Justin Foscue. So hopefully Justin does something, but
I just pulled a cool Josh Young card. So when I was growing up, one of my favorite things to collect was Garbage Pail Kids. I loved Garbage Pail Kids cards. And Topps bought the Garbage Pail Kid brand. And so this is the third year that they've done a crossover with MLB. And I don't know if this will reflect or not, but I can't get it. I can't get it to zoom in. But it's the new series just came out, and my camera is not focused. Anyway, it's Josh Jung as a Garbage Pail Kid, and this is a parallel number to 5. It's a really cool card. But if you like Garbage Pail Kids, check those out, because some of the crossover stuff they've done with MLB is super fun.
Yeah, Josh Jung is actually a card collector. He's got
Is he? And, I love hearing guys are collectors.
Yeah, he signed at a card show here in January, and he was. That's why he was there, and one of the representatives from the Boris Corp was there, and trying to set up a little interview with Josh, and the Boris guy's like, "Well, Josh wants to walk around the show, like it was a big inconvenience, But then Josh was walking around, and then people were following him trying to get his autograph for free instead of paying for it. But I was by his locker the other day, and I just happened to look down and saw his pile of mail, and you know when you buy a card from eBay.
Yeah,
you know the shipping label and everything, and he had a couple that were definite eBay purchases. There's no question.
They were his cards. Yeah.
And I didn't ask him what he had in there, but because I didn't want him to think I was snooping through his locker. But
when I was in Phoenix, that's where I met John. I always book shows in Phoenix during spring training so that I can go to Reds games during the day, and then do my shows at night. And this past time when I was there, the Arizona card show was going on downtown. And so I went downtown and checked that out one day, and Evan Longoria was walking around, because I guess he's a huge collector. So it was just him and his son down there buying stuff up. And I love to see that, man. And the guys that, the younger players now, that they're doing their first Bowman signings, first signings as a professional player, they're starting to have fun with what they write on the cards, putting little notes like first card I ever signed. So it's just a base card that isn't numbered, but it's going to end up in some random pack, and somebody's going to own the first card that person ever signed. And it just makes the value go through the roof on what would normally be a low dollar card, because it's just a normal signature,
Speaking of signing cards, last homestand, we walked in the clubhouse, and there were like three people in there, and one of them was Evan Carter sitting at a table, and he had a box of I think it was Topps Finest, which haven't been out yet.
Yep.
And he was just signing autographs, and he gave a little insight onto it, and he has his contract is for 25,000 autographs. It's just for his rookie cards. So every once in a while he gets just a box of cards.
Yeah.
And there's 250 of them. 2,500 of them. So yeah. He'll get however many boxes it is. He just sits there and signs his name. So for this year, I guess the 2024 Topps or Bowman's or whatever it is. Yeah. He's under contract to sign 25,000 of them. And I was like, I asked him, I said, what if you smudge one? Do they have extras? He said, no, if it's smudged, it's smudged. So
yeah, I've seen him smudged. I've seen him signed in the wrong place. Akil Badu from the Tigers.
Yeah.
I think it might've been a Topps Finest or a tribute, but it was a little swatch of his jersey, like a white piece of jersey, and then it had his picture and then like a white area on the card where he's supposed to sign, and he signed the jersey. So it's like a, it's almost like a misprint autograph because he signed in the wrong place on it. But a buddy of mine here in Cincinnati, he works for Topps as like a contractor, and they'll call him when a Reds player or somebody that either lives close by or is in town playing the Reds needs to do a signing, and they'll ship him the cards, and then he has to go sit there, watch them get signed, and then, you know, authenticate that I witnessed whoever. And every once in a while, he'll ask me to do it. And one time he said, "Hey, can you go to Lexington to witness a signing?" And I said, "Yeah, who's it for?" And it was for Walker Buehler.
Oh, wow.
And so it was just, he told me about all these different, it was the first time I'd done it. And he told me about all these awesome experiences. All these guys are so cool. They sit there and talk to you. You become friends with them, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm like all excited about it. And I go to his house, and it was the most awkward experience I think I've ever had around a professional baseball player. I mean, I had a massive amount. I guess he let his backlog get pretty full of things that he was committed to sign. And so he thought I was just dropping them off. And I was like, "No, I'm supposed to sit here and watch you do it." So I have to come into his house. I sit down on the couch, and then he sits on the floor, his back to me, right? And he's got this little like glass coffee table that's not very high off the ground that he can reach. And he basically wanted me to slide the card forward so that it was in front of him. He would sign it. I would slide that one to the right and push the next one there. And he just faced the other way and watched Californication the whole time that I was. It was the most awkward thing. So I'm just sitting there in silence while this like super awkward TV show is on, and this dude in the room not saying a word and won't make eye contact with me. Man. I was like, you know what? I'm good on these, I think.
Now, one more card story. My son went to a kid's birthday party at one of his teammates, and went to the card store before. I wasn't there. And they bought some mystery packs, whatever, for $20. And, you know, I don't trust the mystery pack. Sometimes it's just trash. And so anyway, Henry got some decent cards, but the one he gave to Max, whose birthday it was, had an Ellie De La Cruz patch card in it. And Henry was pissed. he really wanted that card. But hey, you know, Max had a pretty sweet birthday. You know, he got that card.
So Henry came home.
That's pretty good.
Henry came home, sat down, started watching Californication, just ignoring everybody else.
Leaguers.
That's right.
I mean, Henry got a Yastrzemski card that was pretty sweet, but he doesn't know Carl Yastrzemski from.
So my card experience is, I used to really do him as a kid. And I quit doing it, but my mother-in-law, God bless her, I just love her to death. She buys me, since I've been married 21 years now, every year for Christmas, she knew that I was kind of into cards, but I didn't really. She buys me a full set of Tops every year for Christmas, and I don't open them. I got them for all my kids. And so this is the year you were born, all of that. And so I know if I open them and go through it, I've got rookie cards, everything from the whole set. But I have the little boxes unopened. I've got a whole closet full of them.
That's good.
And every year, I mean, she can buy me socks, underwear, whatever. I don't care. But she tries to hide it somehow. And then everybody will open a gift, and I'm like, did she freaking forget about me this year? And all of a sudden, here it'll come. She buys it for me. And
that's good.
That's way cooler than the annual gift I get from my father-in-law. Which it's a gag gift, but it's our running joke is we love the movie The Blues Brothers.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
So he always used to say, "You got my cheese whiz, boy." And so every Christmas, every time I think he's forgotten about it, somehow I'll end up with the thing of cheese whiz in front of me.
Hey, sixth grade Halloween, I was Jake and my buddy was Elwood. So
that's so great. Yeah, When I started collecting cards, the 85 was the first year that I remember, like, if I ever had extra money, I would go buy a pack of 85 Fleer. Mm-hmm. And it was a great year because it was like Roger Clemens rookie, Barry Larkin, Kirby Puckett.
Yep. Right.
And And I still have them, but unfortunately, they're not worth anything because my mom wrote my initials on the back of all of them so that I wouldn't get them confused with the ones that my neighbor bought. So I still have all my 85 Fleer. They have a little JS in the upper right-hand corner.
Yeah. Now, 86 was my first year.
It's a great year.
And so, like, the 86 Gooden card, because I was a big Gooden fan, is one of my favorite cards.
Well, 86 Tops is my favorite Tops, like layout. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Mine was the 70s, and I remember the first card I got that I thought was cool, besides the Jeff Burrows and Jeff, Little Range, was Lyman Bostock.
Oh, wow.
Because the story about him, he had gotten murdered.
Right.
Yeah. And I ended up with like five of them. And it was like every pack had a Lyman Bostock card in it.
There's certain cards that have like a crazy story about them, you know, like obviously like the Billy Ripken card that was the big error. And then there's a Skybox card. I want to say it's of Mark Jackson for basketball. But if you look past him, you see the Melendez brothers sitting front on front row.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's wild. Some of the cards that are out there that, you know, either have a crazy picture or something's going on in the background. And it's super. I love that kind of stuff. I totally nerd out about that stuff.
Yeah. No, I remember when the Ripken card came out, we were at a little show in Colorado and like people were like, have you seen it? It was like just I don't know how word spread back in those days without phones and the internet. But
right.
It was such a buzz, and we were all scrambling through our damn 89 Fleer looking for this card. And like, so I had one.
You did?
Yeah, I had one. And people were like offering me money for it. I think I held on to it. I still have one. I know I show it to my son every once in a while.
He hates talking about it. But I actually talked to him when I was doing the stuff with Jeff Fry.
Yeah.
He had Billy on. He hates talking about it. He can't stand it.
Oh, no.
It was one of those deals where they were going to take the photo, and he was just going to go grab one of the bats out of the bat rack. And he was just going to grab his bat, and they always would screw with each other and write that on there. If y'all don't know what it is, it says F face on it. It was like F-U-C-K face on the – and he was holding it over his shoulder, and it was just saying that. And he said he went and got that bat and took the picture and never realized that's what it was. So when people bug him about it, he doesn't like to sign them. He was ticked off.
Well, then they like put out variations where they like put a
black box or a white box. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Did that.
The good old days.
Absolutely.
That's damn 35 years ago.
Okay. Listen, we got to do a couple things before we get you out of here. We got to talk Reds first. Are you confident? Are you feeling like this might be something? This is a year that they're going to stay competitive?
If McLean comes back and the people who filled in, I'm so glad we didn't get rid of Jonathan India. You know, we've got this guy Espinal up right now who's playing okay. If we had McLean and I knew we were getting Marte back 80 games in, I'd feel a lot more confident. You know, TJ Friedl should be back soon. But there's so many ifs, right, with every team, and this is a big if. You know, if our starting pitching stays healthy and we don't lose too many more pieces on the starting eight, then I think we can compete, only because I do feel like it's a down year in the Central. You know, I think the Pirates came out the gate super hot, but they've kind of come back to earth. I don't know that the Brewers have what it takes to be last through the end of the year. Like, you know, Rhys Hoskins, as good as he's been, I don't know that he can keep that up. The Cardinals are kind of rebuilding, and the Cubs are, you know, they're not a powerhouse by any means. So I think the division is there for the taking if we can stay healthy. And then our guys continue to develop. Like Ellie, the big thing was the strikeout ratio at the end of last year, and even honestly starting this year. And whatever, you know, he's so young, but if he can learn that kind of plate discipline, that he'll walk, because that's the thing about him, man. A walk, a single, that's like a triple, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we were talking about the other night. Wednesday night, you know, they were looking to add on against the Phillies, and he got a single to right field. Spencer Steer took three pitches, and by that time, Ellie was already at third. Flew out to right, and it was a run, you know, whereas any other player, that guy doesn't even get to second base in that at bat.
Yeah.
And so
It's old school Cardinals baseball right there.
Yeah.
Coleman, except.
So, I mean, I think so. I mean, I'm certainly optimistic about it, but I'm optimistic every year that it's going to click. You know, this is going to be the year for, you know, some bum to just figure it out that's never figured it out. That's always my hope, but there's no reason to not be excited. And honestly, as crazy as it is, all these guys that they've called up and are producing now, there's still a ton left in the pipeline. Like that pitcher we drafted, Rhett Lauder from Wake Forest.
Sure.
Like he's a stud. Like I think he can be as big of a prospect as Skeens is for Pittsburgh.
For Pittsburgh.
Yeah. No, he's, I mean, I think he led the country in wins last year for Wake Forest and still had a minuscule ERA. Kid can pitch for sure.
Well, okay. So on the by the way, guys, intheclutch.com, if you guys have not seen these shirts, we got a little deal going with you also with some Texas Ranger stuff. It's fantastic. You guys need to go to In the Clutch. There's shirts, great Ranger stuff, great Red stuff. If you're a baseball fan at all and you're listening to this podcast, go do that. But I want to get into professionally the comedy. You had teased that you're going to do a new special. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I probably right around the time we met last year, when I was in Phoenix, it was March for sure. Something just clicked and I was just like, you know what, man, I've written down all these premises that I haven't done anything with. I'm sick of, you know, doing jokes that I know people have heard. You know, people travel a long way to come to my show because they've seen me on Dry Bar, Comedy Central or something. And while it's super flattering if somebody says, hey, will you do the garage sale bit or something like that? Like, I love to hear that kind of stuff. But then also I'm like, man, I would really enjoy if these people showed up and I had something they hadn't heard before. So last April or so, I got into this kick of like, I want to start fleshing out this new material. And we had done a fundraiser for my son's travel ball team where I was going to do a comedy show. And I thought, you know, everybody in this audience knows me. They know my act. If I bill this as I'm going to be working out new material, I know it'll be a friendly audience to try stuff out with. And I just dove in and I just started working on this new stuff. And it's come so far so fast. And I'm super proud of it to the point where I actually just timed it over the weekend in Dayton to see how much material I had. And it's right at about 50 minutes. So it's real close to being ready to record something that people have never heard before, unless maybe you've been to one of my live shows recently. So the goal is sometime by the end of the year, find a location and record a special of new material that hasn't been released yet. And that excites me very much because, you know, I'm just, all the stuff that I have on the side between being a dad and a husband and, you know, the t-shirt company, like I'm just don't crank out the material as fast as some other guys, or maybe I'm just not as prolific as they are. But when I get close like this to being able to record something and release it, knowing that a lot of people haven't heard any of it, that's just the most exciting feeling you can have as a comic. So
is Dry Bar still doing their stuff? Could you go back there?
I don't know that I'll go back to Dry Bar. I've been working with a label out of Nashville that's produced a lot of Netflix and Amazon stuff lately called 800 Pound Gorilla. So, you know, they've done some collabs with Nate Bargatze and I don't know. I think that the Dry Bar thing's been awesome for me, but I believe that there's a chance that this next one might get picked up by a known streaming service, or could be a streaming service you've never heard of, but the excitement for me to release it is what's driving all of this.
Well, I think Rangers today might have to make a trip.
Yeah, you tell us where it's going to be at, and we'll go. We'll try like hell to get there and go.
That'd be amazing. I would love to have you guys out for it.
That'd be fun. Yeah. That'd be a lot of fun.
That would be great. I mean, I would love it. I mean, I always try to find I'm like, why don't he come to like Arkansas or Alabama?
I am coming to Arkansas.
Oh,
that's on the schedule. I'm coming to Lowell, Arkansas. No idea. Your guess is as good. It's probably better than mine. All I can tell you is it's in that state.
Okay.
Okay. It's probably somewhere near Bentonville or Little Rock.
I think it is near Bentonville, actually.
Yeah. Oh. So it's probably a suburb, kind of like, you know, Dallas has. I live in Richardson, Texas, but I say Dallas. You know,
you got to say, you got to say the place people know of, right? Like I do that. I yeah. live on the Kentucky side of the Ohio River now for the last 10 years. And if I'm on the road, I say I'm from Cincinnati because I'm close to Cincinnati. But also I know as soon as I say, oh yeah, I live in Northern Kentucky. It's like, oh, okay. All right. Kentucky. Gotcha. You know? And it's like, that's fair. You know, that's fair because there's a reason Kentucky has a stereotype that it does. I live right on the border of where Kentucky becomes Kentucky. You know, like I like to say that I live in a place where the word holler could mean to yell or also be part of directions. Like that's where I live, you know, and Kentucky, in fairness, you know, it has beautiful cities named after some of the most amazing cities in the world, London, Paris, Versailles. But they also have like Sugartit and Beaver Lick and Big Bone State Park. And you're just like, okay, you know what? You're not doing yourself a favor with some of these names. Yeah. So well, I'll just say Cincinnati.
And then, the Cincinnati airport is in Northern Kentucky.
It is.
Yep. You know, it's
CBG. CBG, it's Covington. Yeah.
That's the only time I've been to Kentucky.
I've been all physically over the state
in the state. Although I did stay in Newton last time, I was up there. I stayed right across the river in the Marriott.
And yeah, but anyway, Newport.
Have you ever been to West Virginia? Done anything in West Virginia?
Oh yeah.
Let me tell you. I used to travel all over West Virginia and Kentucky for business years ago, and I went to a place called War, West Virginia, and it's called War, West Virginia. It was up on a mountain, and it was 11 miles up to the top. And it took 35 minutes to get up there. And my distributor, who I was working with at the time, I worked for a battery company. I'm not going to say who. He was like, we would consign these batteries. And he goes, look, we're going up here and we're not getting but one or two cells. And it's our truck gas to get up there is so expensive. And I said, yeah, we need to yank them off here. This is way. So we go all the way up there. We pull into this little town. I kid you not. So we go in, we go, all right, there were two places that had batteries. We're going to yank them and tell them, you call us, we'll deliver to the bottom of the mountain, we'll bring them to you. We went to the first place, and there was a battery missing, so they needed to pay for it. And we went to the second place. Now, I want you to picture this. I walk in to this place. There is a card table with about six guys sitting around it. One of them's dressed in a uniform like he's a police officer. There's a big pile of money in the middle of they're playing poker. And the gun is holding down the money.
Oh, my gosh.
And I walked in and I went, hey, look, we're going to yank these. I'm with dinner. I'm going to yank these batteries off. I said, you need to, we do have one missing. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, they're on consignment, so you got to pay for it. He reaches in the pot and pulls out the money and hands it to me. And we walked out and got in our van. And I said, start going down the mountain right now because there is a chance. They could lose us, and nobody would ever even know where to look for us.
Oh, my goodness.
So war, like bang, bang?
W-A-R, okay. West Virginia is what it was called.
I didn't know it was that, or I wore my coat. You know.
There is a club for a long time in Huntington where Marshall is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, I like to support local places when I'm on the road, so I'll ask, you know, people, where should we go eat? And the three answers that I got were all hilarious in their own right. So for breakfast, they told us to go to Tudor's Biscuit World, which, I mean, that's the most West Virginia name for a restaurant.
But it sounds good.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
Then for lunch, we went to Hillbilly Hot Dogs, where they had one of those food contest type dishes that you could buy, and it was called the Home Wrecker or the Double Wide. It was like a 10-pound hot dog. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. And so that was our lunch. And then we said, we were looking for dessert later that night, and we go, what's a good like local ice cream place? You know, and the lady got so excited, she goes, they got Dippin' Dots at the mall. And I was like, where am I that people are this excited about Dippin' Dots?
Nice.
I have been to Huntington many, 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 many times right there. And I probably know where you went. It was kind of on the strip of the main road in downtown.
Yep.
And did it double as a country bar?
Which one? The Hillbilly Hot Dogs or?
No, I'm talking about where you did your show.
There was a place that was a country bar across the street. This was in a little plaza that had like a movie theater and a bookstore. I think we were above an Applebee's, not to get too fancy for everybody, but yeah, it was the memories of the road, man. It's
good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Anything else?
We're good.
I'm going to try to get, hey, does Ellie speak English good?
Oh yeah. Real good.
So that's a fun fact, and it's kind of funny because we made a meme about this on our Cincy Shirts website is, you know, Shohei had that whole fiasco with his interpreter and the gambling thing.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, the next week, Ellie announces he's going to start doing press conferences without an interpreter. So we just thought that the timing on that was hilarious, that everybody was like, you know what? I think I'm good on interpreters. I'll just try to do it myself. And so now he is doing his press conferences in English without an interpreter.
Now, have you met him? Have you got a chance to?
I've not met him personally. No, I've been close and I've gotten to witness the greatness, but I've never had a conversation with him.
I know, because you're now talk again. You've got some stuff with the Reds. They do some stuff with you, so you have an in with the Reds, right?
This is very exciting. That as of this morning, we are an official sponsor of the Reds. So that's big, cool. Big news for us.
Awesome. In the clutch?
Here locally, Cincy Shirts, our local brand, but. Okay, all right. But you know, through doing t-shirts and the magic of social media, when some of these guys see the designs we do, we've been able to send them stuff. Andrew Abbott's become a friend of mine, so if you get to talk to him, mention that we're buddies. And most of the guys there know our brand. Most of the coaches know our brand. They'll call us and say, you know, last year Joey Votto turned 40. And Tyler Stevenson asked us to do a shirt that the rest of the team could wear to surprise him on his birthday. So we did drawing of Joey Votto with a walker. happy birthday, Dad, because all the guys called him Dad.
Yeah.
So we're very lucky that they come to us when they need something internally. And then we can do these cool designs for all these players that, you know, people can buy on our website or in the team shop for Cincy shirts. And then, of course, you know, Rangers fans. Check out In the Clutch and all the cool Ranger stuff. And I love working with you guys, and I appreciate you giving me the heads up on stuff that you think the Rangers faithful would like. So doing that. And anybody listening, if you got an idea for a shirt, send it to us. We'll get it up and happy to make it.
Yeah. Or send it to us and we'll send it to him. We've got the contact to get with Josh if we want to get him something. This has been a blast.
Yeah.
Always. It's always fun. We got some trading card stuff going on. We got
good stuff.
Some good stuff about Cincinnati Reds. We know Josh is about to do a special. We're going to try to make a Rangers Today trip. I'm telling you this, you ever come to Dallas, we're going to run something with the Rangers Today fans. We're going to fill that place one night.
I love it. I'll keep trying, and I promise you two will be the first to know. I love this friendship. I love talking to you guys year round, and
we hopefully missed you by like 4 days.
I know. I'll give you the heads up so you have plenty of notice on when to schedule your spring training trip.
Believe it or not, it came up. So we booked it, and we had already booked the flights, and we'd gotten everything. And I said, dude, you know, we leave like on Wednesday, and Josh gets there, and he's there Friday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or whatever it was. And Jeff goes, yeah, I know, I already saw it. And we had already booked everything, so we were like, yeah, no, I already saw that.
Next time for sure, if I don't get there before then, if I don't get down to Dallas.
You got it, boys.
All right, guys. Josh Sneed, thanks for coming on. Josh, we appreciate it. Let you know when this thing comes out. Go to Cincy Shirts. Go to In the Clutch. Or just go look up, just go Google Josh Sneed and look at the stuff on there, and go Google Josh Sneed farted on Jessica Simpson. Still one of my favorite stories he tells. But Josh, thanks for coming on, bud.
My pleasure. See you guys.